Hello, my name's Usha Patel, and I'm with Keystone Partners Group, Director of Productivity Coaching, and I'd like to welcome you to The Path, a series that's definitely focused on success strategies for new agents, emerging agents who are really looking at how you can learn some success strategies from our rising stars who have created that success. And today, I'm excited to introduce you to Amanda McNulty, and she's from our Brandywine office, and also Mary Pat Kling, who has been an agent for just a few years and a new agent with coaching and now a productivity coach herself. So welcome, Mary Pat. I'm so excited that you're here, and Amanda. I know that the viewers are going to get a lot of great things today on this show, especially some of the things that you already shared with me. Let's just get started, Mary Pat. Just a few years ago, you were a brand new agent.
I was.
And today you're in a leadership position and a leadership role as a productivity coach. So that was a quick succession and a quick path to a lot of different things. So let's just get started with what you did before real estate and as a new agent, such a lot of success, and now as a productivity coach.
Okay, so for me, I was an interior designer for approximately 27 years doing model home design. So when the building industry kind of tanked, they wiped out my entire department. So I was on unemployment for a little while, and then it got to the end point, and I was trying to get a new job either within the field, not so much doing the same thing, because I had done the same thing for 27 years. And I got to a point where I kept trying new avenues, and there were so many people unemployed that anything I wanted to try new, I was so far down on the line because there were so many people out of work with experience.
Right.
And then on the design side, I was at the top of the scale, and nobody was going to invest in me at that point.
Sure.
So, and I was, you know, bordering 50 and heading that way, and I just kind of got to a point where I also had to reinvent myself.
Yeah.
So I was in Brandywine. I decided I was going to reinvent myself as a photographer because that's what I wanted to do in my final career. And I was at Brandywine Valley office for almost 2 years taking headshots of the agents.
Oh, so you were actually in the real estate office
just as
working with the real estate agent as a photographer. I never knew that.
And it was very strange because I felt home there. And I kept saying, now in my former career, I dealt with a lot of agents and they were all younger and I had struggled with their work ethic sort of, so to speak. So I had a negative attitude towards real estate agents. And as I got in this office, everybody was literally so nice that I was just like, what is wrong here? What is wrong?
Because what are they drinking?
everybody was so nice and constantly saying, oh, you should do this. You should do this. I'm like, no, I have no interest in real estate whatsoever. So then one day, it's at the end of like unemployment, I was just like, wow, I have to reinvent myself because no one's going to hire me without experience and nobody's going to hire a designer right now. So I have to be self-employed and with something that I can create my own destiny.
Right.
So one of the agents, it happens to be a day that I was taking photos and I went in and I was talking with one of the teams in there who was taking a photo and they're like, oh, you should do this. And I said, I have no interest in real estate. I said, I just like this office. And then they're kind of like, you'd be great at it. And I was just like, I'm not a salesperson. Like, you're really good at relationships. I'm like, that I am. And I knew that
Yes.
And but I said, yeah, once I get in here, you're going to start doing the sales pitch thing to me. And then, and it wasn't like that. And then I went home to my husband. And I said, all right, honey, you want me to reinvent myself? For the next 2 weeks, I did a crash course, the 2 weeks crash course. I said,
so you can really get your real estate license in 2 weeks.
So I said, you are cook, you are a housekeeper, you are a taxi driver, you are mommy, you're daddy, you are everything for the next 2 weeks. I'm jumping in head first.
So a lot of resistance in the beginning, and then once you sort of made your mind up,
clicked. It was the group that was there that day, and we had a team leader at the time who was fabulous filling in, and she was like, you will be great. And I'm like, all right, whatever, but I'll try it. I'll try anything. So I reinvented myself, went to classes for 2 straight weeks, and then another week of studying before my exam, and I was in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Drove up to Harrisburg, came back with my license, and I said, here I am.
Here I am, and I'm ready to go for
ready
success.
To go.
Right, yeah. And of course, at the time, we also had a productivity coach in that office, and a lot of training, because with Keller Williams, Keystone Partners Group, we just are very, very focused on following the models and totally engaged in really creating your success.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice but to succeed, because we were struggling at home and it was sink or swim. So I decided I was swimming at all costs.
And that was also when the market was not the best
market. It was 2010, right. One of the most awesome things for me was everybody was like, oh, why would you do that?
Right.
Oh, this is the worst time. What? You're crazy.
Yeah.
And I think I was determined to succeed in spite of them.
Yeah.
And so as I started going out and meeting people and talking to people, it just started to develop. I actually thought I was going to get this nice, smooth first year of it's going to be slow so I can learn all my systems. And as I started tapping into my sphere of influence, things started happening. And it was just like, oh, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that.
It was kind of sometimes like, we stop our success.
So I just, I didn't have a choice. So I just, things happened. And I closed 7 transactions my first year when I was anticipating 1 or 2.
Right.
So I didn't have an option to.
But and your average sale price is pretty high over there too.
Yeah, we have a decent and my first year I actually had some good $400,000-$500,000 homes and a couple twos, and it sort of all balanced out. So I had an awesome first year in real estate, and going back to those people that were like, so how was your year? How was it? I was just like, it was awesome.
Yeah, I made money.
Butt.
Right?
I kicked butt and I made money.
Yeah, and you didn't lose money. I think that's the important part really when anyone getting started in real estate is to make sure that there is a positive cash flow, that you're not in the negative when you're getting started. Because of course you invest in real estate and yet you need to do the sales so that way you can make sure that you've got an income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So we're gonna keep coming back to you in how you transition from getting started in real estate to now helping new agents. And I think it's what's really nice is you weren't there that long ago. And we've talked a lot about some of the things that you've had success with. And I'm really excited about you sharing that with our listeners today. And so let's, Amanda, you've been sitting very patiently. So let's just, again, your background in what made you choose real estate, how long ago, and again, some of the success you're having. I do understand you also, in just a few years, is on the leadership track.
Yes. So back in 2013, 2014, I was in my senior year of college in hopes to get a marketing degree. My dad was really pushing for me to get my real estate license since he's an investor. So I started the classes while I was a senior in college. I finished my degree, and I was kind of dragging my feet. I really wasn't sure if that's what I wanted to do. And then when I realized the real world is not as easy as it seems after college.
It's a funny thing. We go to college, spend so much money on all these different degrees, and then we really look at what life is really about.
Yes. So I moved to Delaware, and I found this real estate firm. A team was looking for an assistant. So I applied, and I got the job. I was there probably about 3 months. And it just wasn't a good atmosphere. I liked what I did, but I didn't like the atmosphere that I was in. I tried talking to the team to try and adjust things, and we weren't really seeing eye to eye. And I told them, well, I'm going to have to leave. And they told me, well, you're not going to have a tough enough skin for this business.
Ouch.
Yeah, hearing that right out of college. And, yeah, it wasn't the best feeling. I'm not going to lie. I cried. I was upset.
Yeah.
You know, I left there really upset that day. But that kind of gave me the drive to get that real estate license. I thought to myself, I'm going to prove these people wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would have ever gotten my license without that push.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have went the other way. I could have just got out of the business completely, but I knew I liked it. So I pushed for that license, and I was actually purchasing a house of my own when I found Keller Williams. And that is what brought me into this office. And the minute I walked in the door and helped, like you said, everyone was so kind and helpful and anxious to meet someone new, and they're just very open arms. So it was hands down, that was the only company that I interviewed with, and it was Yeah. History ever since, kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind the viewers and the listeners, that is the theme. We do find that people who are successful are going to find, they're going to seek an environment, they're going to seek out people that are going to support their dreams and their goals. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, in a lot of our shows, I've heard that same thing is, the you know, you walk into an office and the atmosphere, the feeling of camaraderie, of teamwork, a productive environment where people are seeing results and celebrating each other's success. And you know, I'm very proud to say that, you know, we are part of that growing focus. And one of the things that you said was what the team said, and again, I had a very similar situation. When I first got started, I was told I would not be successful. And when some people say that, is it from a feeling of, well, you know, goodwill, or maybe a little protectiveness of whether, you know, you really need to consider something. However, it did the same thing for me. It made me more determined to succeed. Yeah. So I'm excited to see your career and where that's going to go, because I can see that you've got that that strength inside of you that when somebody dares you, you're just going to go and actually prove things differently.
Exactly.
So good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you for really getting out there and going for what is rightly an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so your father is an investor.
Correct. Yes.
Your business, your real estate business, is it mostly investors, or are you doing residential real estate? What is your focus? It's just 2 years you're in business,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. When I first started, it was mainly my father's properties at first to get a feel of how the system works and contracts and, you know, the whole thing. But from there, I was gaining other clients just from his investment properties alone. Buyers would walk in without an agent. I would get a new buyer client. Or they would say, hey, I need to sell my house before I could buy anything. Can you list my house? So I got some sellers from that too. And I've gotten dual agencies from the investment properties. So I've kind of expanded into all different things just from that alone. But I've done commercial, I've done residential. I don't really turn down anything as long as I feel comfortable with the situation. So
yeah, and representing the client
exactly
in the way they need to be represented.
Correct.
You mentioned dual agency, and
yes,
a lot of the shows that I've already done with different agents, that's something that didn't really come up a lot, and I'd like to explore a little bit more for the agents. I personally have agents that I've coached who feel that dual agency is a little too hard for them to deal with, and yet really Pennsylvania law allows us to do that as long as we're going to represent our clients, in the win-win situation in our representation for them. So how did you so quickly learn dual agency? Obviously, you've had a coach guiding you.
Yes.
However, you know, what's your mindset around dual agency?
When I first started, I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous just because of the fine line of ethics, and things can go wrong if you don't follow the steps accordingly. But once I did my first one, I was like, oh my gosh, these are the best, because not only you only have to deal with yourself and your clients, there's not another personality in the mix.
Right.
And sometimes when there's another agent, some things just don't communicate as well as yourself as the single agent in a dual agency. So I actually found it to be a lot better doing it just by myself and having two sets of clients and keeping it separate. As long as you keep it separate and don't overshare and do what you're supposed to do in any situation, normally you will be fine in a dual agency.
Yeah.
It's not as nerve-wracking as it looks, and you'll be happier at the end of the day anyway. So it's really easy once you get the hang of it.
And you're really following all the rules of the Real Estate Commission. It really is a wonderful mm-hmm. way to do business. And
yes.
and for new agents, it's something that they should consider mm-hmm. if the opportunity were to come
exactly.
up for them. Because as you would say, you know, you've got these clients and your communication with another mm-hmm. You know, agent would not even be an issue there.
Exactly.
Some of our opportunities, and I'm going to use the word opportunity, when we are co-brokering can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for new agents, emerging agents, and experienced agents, that is one of our a big part of what we do in real estate when we're working with a co-broker.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a good message for them is to have the opportunity, go for it, and make sure that you tap into the broker and the team leader and the productivity coach to help you with it.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of phone calls when I first started those ones because
yes.
I wanted to make sure I was doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But after two or three, it's just like a normal deal. You don't even think twice about being a dual agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, right, what you focus on expands. And mm-hmm. from our conversation before, you've had a lot of dual agencies.
At least 12, and it could be up to 15 at this point.
Yeah. And that's because of the listing, the investment properties, and marketing them and all that.
Correct, yes. I've had a few that were not investor properties, that a dual agency. I'm actually having one settle in 2 weeks that wasn't an investor property. It was just a normal seller with a buyer coming in, and they were fine.
What's your secret sauce on that?
I don't know. I'm honest with them. I said, I'm not here to, you know, hinder anyone's opportunities with buying a house. I want to just get to point A to point B like everyone else.
And did the buyers come from an internet lead or an open house or a call from into the office from your sign?
A lot of my dual agencies either come from calling off my sign or inquiring through realtor.com, some internet source that they come across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, with Keller Williams, we really do have My Listing, My Lead.
Mm-hmm.
So the more listings you have, the more opportunity you have. That's not necessarily the case with other real estate models and other real estate companies
Correct.
Out there. So again, for new agents to consider or any agents to consider being able to build your business on what you already have,
mm-hmm.
it's a great opportunity at Keller Williams.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Share, I actually have had a couple of dual agencies from open houses.
Right.
A lot
yeah.
of people don't believe in open houses, but I've got a lot of people come in unattended and you know, they were ready to roll and love the house, so I just went
Absolutely,
with it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, a third of them that are coming into open houses may not be represented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's really circle back with you, Mary Pat. You immediately started having some success. And you just by the time that I've known you, you're a self-starter. And when you commit to something, you really, really go for it. What kind of success have you had moving forward? And then what made you shift to the productivity coach opportunity?
I guess early on, I was so focused and driven. One of the things that I was uncomfortable with about real estate is there's no hard and fast rules.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who likes to follow rules, so I like the line in the sand that I don't cross. I get really close, but you know, you can't cross it. And I would ask people's opinion, and I would get asked the same question and get three different opinions. And like I said, coming as a previous designer, I was okay with, in design, I know it was about creativity, but here it was like I was so afraid with the laws and stuff. So I just felt like there was no hard and fast rules. So then I just started just learning everything I could learn and asking as many people. And in our office, the culture was so awesome that anybody I asked, I never had anybody even give me a, can you come back in an hour? People stopped what they were doing to answer my questions or help me. So.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of motivated me because I was helped when I needed help.
Yeah.
And then I got into, I guess I like to be helpful. I got into a little niche with the 55 and older crowd who needs help. They need someone to just love them, hold
That's
their hand,
right.
coddle them along. And I was able to take my design background and look at their big houses and say, okay, you want to get rid of that, that, and that, and this will fit in the house that we're going to. So I kind of spiraled in there and just fell in love with these people who needed help. So then it just sort of spiraled from there. Then some new agents came in and would ask me questions, and some people didn't know where to turn. And then our program sort of developed in our office, started out as a mentor program, and then worked its way into the full-blown productivity coach.
Yes.
And I just, coming from the whole office and coming from contribution, I like helping people.
Right.
And watching other people succeed, because I know how I felt when I was, you know, when you're 27 years as a career, you're at the top of your game. So I could go head to head with the big guys, and I had all the answers, and I was okay. So coming here, and it's like, ooh, I don't know, let me ask somebody.
Starting from scratch.
I don't know the answer to that question. I was so uncomfortable. So it sort of became my passion to not have other people in that situation. And the program sort of just, we spiraled from there.
Well, I'm loving working with you because I'm, I really enjoy some of the creativity you're bringing to our group of nine offices and the coaches and some of the things that you've created for the agents to really focus on to get them into production right away. And you, we'll again come back to some of the things, some of your strategies that you're using that's really bringing a lot of success to the agents. Amanda, as you were being coached, as you got started, what was some of the things that you found very, very helpful? Again, the folks listening really would like to find out specifically what some of those things were.
A lot of the classes you guys recommended that were offered at the office, they were very helpful. Coming from a different company and as an assistant, I already knew how to use the MLS and all of that stuff, so I was able to kind of speed through that. But I realized I was not up to knowledge as far as Keller Williams was. So a lot of the classes that are offered in the office, and then constantly talking to our coaches throughout the week, keeping them updated. If we have any questions, you guys would answer, and if they wouldn't, it'd be a matter of 5 minutes till I got a call back. So a lot of the just one-on-one, and you kind of get the feel for it when you talk to someone who's been in the business a couple years, and just the advice itself coming from the coaching staff really helped.
Do you do any kind of education or seminars or anything like that outside of your office?
I did go to Bold.
Okay.
I attended Bold. We did the same at the same time. That was wonderful. It just changes the way you think and gets you out of your comfort zone. Bold was wonderful. I'm trying to think. I did go to a few other ones. I can't think of the names.
Do you attend some things from the association and your board and different things like that at all?
Not as much as the association, just because of where it's located.
Okay.
It's not as convenient as things closer to the Brandywine office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And contracts and education, the ongoing education for contracts.
Oh, yep. Yeah, you have to keep up to date with that stuff to continue your business, of course.
Right, yeah. And so those are a lot of the things for the new agents to focus on, to make sure that you've got good contracts mastery.
Oh, of course.
So, and Mary Pat, we talk a lot about the coaches and what we do. What's been some things that have brought you a lot of joy while you've been a productivity coach and some of the great results that you've been getting?
Well, my favorite day is payday. Obviously.
payday should be a favorite day for all of us,
you know,
right?
My kids have hated. I was the mom at the bus stop the first day of school, and my older daughter, when she was hit 12th grade, she's like, "Yes, this is the last first day of school photo I ever have to take." So I tell these guys, "Okay, you're gonna have to take that first paycheck."
That's right.
So I'm so excited for them.
Yeah,
you know, especially some of them who, you know, take a little longer to get somewhere. They're paying their monthly bills and that kind of stuff. And it's like, it's what we're here
it's
for.
It's a celebration,
It's a celebration of you can do this.
I always see the photographs and the pictures that you post of their, the agents with their first settlement and making a big celebration in your office.
Especially when they think they can't do it and it's a struggle. And I try and tell them that, once that first one takes hold, then everything takes traction and starts happening from there because you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, people could read it. If you're not comfortable and you don't think you know it and you don't think you're going to do a good job,
right.
Your clients aren't going to buy it either. So we're constantly coaching them to, you can do this, and just know that I'm here. This whole office is here behind you. Yeah. I will go to settlement with you. I will go to a listing appointment. I'll go anywhere if anybody wants and just get them to go.
Wow.
Just to mm-hmm. give them the comfort level.
Yes.
I had people that did that for me. I went on a listing appointment with somebody and just sat there.
Yes.
And the great way to learn. And we have people that will help let you go sit in open house with them, and you can kind of watch them, see how they do it. And it just takes the fear out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you see someone else doing it, it's like, okay, I can do that. So once they get that first check, they're like, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
I did do it. And then they're fired up because it's like you get that one check and it's like, okay, what's the next one? next. So.
And Amanda, obviously you had your first settlement and celebrations and so many more that you've gotten. Mm-hmm. You have actually now on the leadership path, as I had mentioned earlier. What exactly is that and what does that mean for you with your business? Moving forward for this year?
Looking back a year ago, I was a student of hers. And now this year, I'm on the ALC and I helped teach one of the Ignite classes last week.
I heard you're teaching classes already.
Yeah. So I like it. And I'm keeping my options open. I know that there's more things than just being a realtor. You can go for your brokers, you can become an appraiser, you can just, there's so many options that you can go from just becoming a realtor.
Yeah. So
eventually I want to find one path that I want to pursue, but I enjoy real estate and I always want to stay in real estate, but I just always want to better myself. Yeah. I want to see what the next step will be as far as if it's teaching, if it's taking the classes for my broker's license, whatever it may be. I know that Keller Williams is getting me prepared for the next step.
Sure. And we'd spoken with a lot of your business with investors and mm-hmm. also residential and commercial. Do you have some other focus that you feel that you're going to start doing with your business? I think you had mentioned earlier when we were chatting about expanding your geographic farm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Originally, I started doing business in Schuylkill County, which is a little drive from Westchester.
Wow, that is quite out of your area.
Yeah, because my dad was an investor in that area. But now, with being in the area for the past 2 years, I wasn't ready to take on people just yet, just for the fact that I wasn't familiar with the area, and mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't going to serve them as well as I should starting that early in that area. Now that I've lived there for 2 years, I'm ready for it. I have a buyer that I've been taking out, and we're getting there. We're getting close. I know that soon we'll be having a settlement in the future.
Yeah.
So
that
will be my first client in the Brandywine area. But I would eventually like to expand up that way, not only for real estate, but also to become an investor myself.
Okay.
I have my Pennsylvania and Delaware license, so I just keep adding to it.
Wow. Talk about someone who's learning base within 2 years. You've got a license in two states and really looking at opportunities. You know, that's actually a good focus for us, really, for our viewers. We hadn't really talked about geographic farming. There is a lot that can be done, learning the area and really starting to see what the opportunity is, and then hyper-focusing on what that opportunity is and then working that area.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have some people that are supporting you right now in that focus in the office and a plan for what you might be able to achieve?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's cheering. I feel like we all cheer each other on.
Yeah.
So one of the main reasons why I came to this office was a woman named Shiloh. And she's a Delaware. She's dual agents as well, Delaware and Pennsylvania. So I have a lot of people with the Pennsylvania license who I have help with, but Shiloh's been a great mentor for Delaware. she's been, every time I have a question with any contract relating to Delaware, she will pick up right away.
No use calling me because I wouldn't be able to help you at all.
And they're very different.
On that end, yeah.
Totally.
They're very different states. But once you get one license, it's very easy to get the other. Mm-hmm. And if you're so close to those borders, you really should just get it. Even if you might not use it all the time, mm-hmm. it's good to just have.
Yeah, that your office definitely is right. really positioned well for mm-hmm. That opportunity to tap into. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, with real estate, it really is, if the opportunity is there, why not go for mm-hmm. it?
Exactly. Yeah. So we have Make opportunities it. Sometimes, too, where they start out as a Pennsylvania client.
Right.
And then all of a sudden something pops
They're
up in
moving.
Delaware.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have a lot that go from Delaware to PA and then the other way around. And mm-hmm. I've had some clients who I started out and showed them a bunch of houses. And then all of a sudden one day they come in and go, I want to buy something in Delaware.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I went and got mine too as well. But I missed a couple opportunities in the beginning. And I'm a sort of a full service. So I didn't want to give up that person, but I had to give up my first client. Mm-hmm. To somebody who was licensed in Delaware. And then I felt like I let them down because it was a referral from somebody, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to take them through, and I couldn't do that. So I went and got mine as well, because we are literally 5 minutes from mm-hmm. the border of Delaware.
Yeah. When you say full service real estate agent, again, that might be something for us to learn a little bit more about. Can you share some
well,
more about
that? Well, I don't want to, so a lot of times we have people go across the border, so I don't want to be the listing agent and have to turn over them to somebody else to buy something on the other side mm-hmm. and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have both.
And
just
your business is very relationship focused, so you want to keep those relationships growing and really nurturing them.
Yeah, it's the way to keep a referral business. And, absolutely, yeah. It's what I want to be is just referral business on the side of the training.
Yeah, you developed a very nice foundational focused track. With our productivity coaching, we already do have a playbook that is a guide, and yet you really came up, and it's no surprise, as a designer and someone who does a lot of creativity, you put together a really nice program for agents to really get started that would make them feel comfortable about writing contracts very, very quickly. What does that look like?
Well, and it started with my not liking to be outside that box and mm-hmm. wanting that straight line. And I knew for me to grow, I was so uncomfortable with the paperwork, and it really made me nervous. So I know, like our programs like Bold and Ignite, which get an agent, and you know, you start out day one, you're in productivity, you're making calls, you're reaching out to people. The fear of not, okay, I got someone.
What if they say yes?
What if they say yes? And my first experience with, we at the time had floor call, and it was a holiday weekend, and everyone's like, no one's going to come, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I need to know what to say. And everyone's like, you won't give me any calls. I'm like, I still need to know what to say. So somebody volunteered to meet me at 9 o'clock to just sit there and talk me through it. They were 5 minutes late. I got in it. 5 of 9, and the phone rang at 9 o'clock with somebody who wanted to see a house.
Yes.
And
I'm going, of course.
I can't answer the phone. Yeah, what do I say? Right. So somebody else was in the office, walked by, and she's just like, I'm like, I don't know what to say. How do I pick this up? And she's just like, so she just picked it up and said she was me and was talking through it. I'm like, just like, you know, we'll get the information for you and call back.
Yes.
Okay, so we got that. We hung up, and then she coached me on like what to say. I'm like, okay, they said I wasn't going to be here. So literally this person who wasn't going to call wanted to see a house. I took her out to see a house, and then she decided she wanted to write a contract on the house. This is all in one day, in probably my first week in the office. So I just went into this
really
panic mode of not knowing what to do. So that experience, and then I learned, learned and went to our Dominic Cardone's broker class, or not broker class, contracts. The contract class. I was like, okay, so I made that a focus because of my fear. So I didn't want anybody to be holding back in the Ignite or the Bold classes, not going to make the call or not going to step out of their comfort zone because they don't know what comes next.
Yes.
So I developed this program of all the contract to close and each step of the way, taking your first off, doing a comp, knowing what the different houses are and what they're worth and how you guide your clients to what to offer or what to list it for. Then we went through, step two is going through all of the paperwork for the listing side. Then step three, I take them all of the paperwork for the buyer side. Step four is we write a contract now that everybody knows, and we know the houses, we know what it's worth, we write the contract, and then we talk about the negotiations. And then step five of this program is contract to close for both sides. What you as the buyer's agent are responsible for and what you as the seller's agent are responsible for. Yeah. Until you get to closing day and everybody's happy, transfer keys, and you get paid.
Yeah.
So I felt like that would take the fear out. And mm-hmm. it seems to, and I run it right before, like the 2 weeks prior to people getting an igniter bolt so that they're comfortable with the mechanics of it so that they can let that go and focus on getting business.
Yeah, definitely. For everyone listening today, don't be scared of showing, getting in the office and showing up, because you never know, you're going to get some business, right? We do hear so many agents who have struggling with not having enough business, and really success is, majority of success is just show up and an opportunity will fall into your lap. For sure. And so, and especially with having some systems and support, you can write a contract very easily and get to payday very, very fast. Yeah. Yeah. Amanda, I wanted to ask you, prior, so from a sales perspective, you did not have any sales experience, correct?
No, I grew up around my parents' business. It's a flooring company. Before my dad became an investor, that was what he did. So I was around it, but I never worked there. Yeah. I never wanted to.
I don't have anything to do with what dad's doing.
Yeah. So it's funny now that I'm on the other end of his business, and my sister's doing the family business. So. But no, not really, not at all. No. But I had a marketing degree leaving college. That was about it. I had some background, but that was all education. So
and you know, not there are people that come into real estate with some sales background, and some who absolutely don't. And how did you very quickly learn some of the sales skills that are required in negotiations and in being able to take a listing and working with buyers?
I think the biggest thing is to just kind of be yourself. Mm-hmm. You usually hit it off with people right away. And if you don't, try to. And maybe it's not the best relationship. You don't have to take every listing that comes your way or every buyer. It might not be right for you. Mm-hmm. So pretty much just be yourself. And it will all fall into place after that. And be level-headed. There's no reason to, you know, raise your voice or get all upset. And you really have to just kind of keep level-headed and just push through it. It'll be okay. Every transaction is different, so you can't really prepare yourself for the next one because you don't know what's going to be like. Yeah.
For someone so young, you have a very mature outlook. What I'm hearing you say is don't be attached to the outcome and really do your very best with what's presented in front of you.
Exactly.
Great piece of advice for sure. I think we can all learn from that. You know, when it comes to sometimes not agents not having any business, the focus becomes that they absolutely want that piece of business or they absolutely have to work with a client when perhaps it's not going to be a good match.
Exactly.
Yeah, some good lessons there for sure. Yeah. Let's talk about some Scripps practice and some of the things that new agents typically tend to resist. I find throughout my coaching the challenges of agents showing up to do some of the things that are necessary and yet there's limiting beliefs or just different thought process about why that's going to work or not work. Mary Pat, you've had some very good success and some very good success stories with agents who resisted that. I think the listeners will really have some good insight with this.
Well, we just really actually had a funny one this week. We had a young guy who was, he had done a lot of businesses and he decided that this was the business for him. He had read Gary Keller's book. He decided he wanted to get into real estate. He went out and researched the number one book. He bought The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. He read it, and somebody referred him to me. So he was young, and he had all his ideas. And the first day of Ignite, there were scripts, and he was just like, not doing that. That's not me. I can't talk like that. Can't do it. We were trying to explain to him that they're specifically worded to tap into people's emotions and whatever. So he still wouldn't do it. And then there was one day he came in and he had this long list of people to call, and he was spinning his wheels trying to find people. And I had suggested, you need to tap into the people that are your sphere of influence that know you and love you. I can't do that. I'm going to call people I don't know.
I'm like, so he had a big list of people that he didn't know.
He didn't know. And I said, well, you got to call the people who love you. Those are the people that know you, trust you, and they have a vested interest in your success. Mm-hmm. And he was like, can't do that. And we're like, well, keep spinning your wheels, calling the people, and then you're going to get your feelings hurt when they hang up on you or they're not nice to you, and it sets you back.
Yeah,
so try a different method. And at the time I was co-coaching with somebody, and we were both in the office together, and the two of us started talking to him, and we convinced him to just take this one script, go call some of the people you know.
Let's just try it.
He stepped out of our office, made like three calls, and he came back with two appointments.
Interesting.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
But then he still didn't follow up. So earlier this week, I was teaching like the first class, and we were talking about scripts and the resistance. And I used him as an example, and it was really funny because I used him as an example of being resistant and don't reinvent the wheel. Because if you follow the path that the other people are on that have gotten where you want to go, you'll get there faster. And ironically, after the class, I guess later that evening, I got a text from this guy who he moved to Florida, and he was with a new group. And he texts me and he says, you're going to love the irony in this. I'm now using scripts, and I just got two listing appointments. So I'm cracking up because I'm thinking, you're going to love the irony on top of your irony, because I used you as an example today about your resistance to scripts. And now I'm going to go back and tell them tomorrow that it finally sunk in and you got it.
Yeah.
And so he's now being successful. So it's like,
there's definitely a law out there, what you resist persists. And that is definitely an example of, in life, there are proven methods. And when we actually follow these proven methods, amazing results will show up and success will be something that you can start celebrating. Yeah, yeah. So practicing scripts and following some of the, because these are scripts that top agents use, right?
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, our whole book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, and I tell people this is your roadmap to success. Because Gary Keller did, and he interviewed top agents, not in Keller Williams, all over the world, and he used their best practices to create this pathway for us. So the pathway's there. So my job is to just kind of get you to follow the path and lead you, you know, to your success. And it's where you want to go. I'm just here to help you. But we have the tools in place. And so you can spin your wheels and struggle and say it doesn't work. But if you follow the path, you will have success.
Absolutely.
It's been proven time and time again. So
It's a wonderful thing when people actually do that.
So and it's really cool when they break through. You have somebody like Amanda who is like, she'd come in every day to Peggy and I and go, all right, what do I do next, coach? What do I do next? And it was just like, it was obvious that she was going to succeed because she was just a sponge that was embracing everything we said and everything we were teaching her, and she was just going to go do it.
And Amanda, so young, how have you gotten your focus and inspiration? I mean, you obviously have a vision for yourself. Who've been your role models that really kind of guided you up until now?
A main factor in how well that I'm doing is the push that my father has. Even though he's also my client, he was my biggest supporter to start. And seeing how successful he's been in his own businesses, I really take a lot of his advice, and I know he wants to see me do well. And even if I'm having one of those days where I'm not doing what I'm really supposed to be doing, he'll even remind me, you know, come on, you won't be successful if you don't keep up with it. So he's a huge reason why I'm in the business and why I keep pushing myself to hopefully be as good as him one day in his career. And I would love to do investing myself, so yeah, I'd love to just be as successful.
Yeah. Gary Keller would be very proud because, again, as real estate agents, if we're not investing in real estate and utilizing what we already know as a strategy for creating financial stability, financial security, financial freedom, we really do have a great opportunity with real estate.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially my generation as well. We might not have those extra funds and later on in our life that some have the opportunity to get, but so we have to invest somewhere. We have to save our money somewhere.
Yes.
So I want to start early and make sure that path is already ready to go for when I'm older and want to retire. So
yeah, I recently I saw an article about I think this gentleman's a self-made millionaire, billionaire, and he had talked about when folks that are in their 20s or early 30s invest in real estate, they have a much better chance of getting on a better financial wealth, wealth mastery, wealth strategy, wealth security path. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So great job that you've got a great role model and you're actually working and taking some actions towards that, because one investment property can lead to a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's been your biggest challenge as you've in the couple of years that you've gotten started?
The biggest challenge is just going to work. I mean, you have so much freedom as a realtor and a real estate agent that I don't think people realize until you're thrown into it.
That's right.
Oh, I could take off today. No, you can't, because it's not going to run smoothly for the rest of the week. You're going to be backtracking and be behind. So it's really, and I wasn't the type of person who wants to come in the office every day. So instead, I converted a room in my house to an office. So I do work in there, and then if I have to come in and scan things, I'll come in the office.
Yes.
So it's really just keeping track of everything and doing it day by day, because once you lose that, it's hard to get back on that track again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest challenge. I mean, being 25 and, you know, I like to travel and explore, so I always want to keep going, and I have to kind of pull the reins sometimes and just stay focused and not have that much freedom as I want sometimes, but
yes, freedom, flexibility, and finances, right?
Yes.
So the freedom and flexibility in real estate can come very easily.
Mm-hmm.
However, too much freedom and too much flexibility sometimes leads to no financial gain.
Exactly.
And so you can really the ultimate freedom really is when we do have a very disciplined path of structuring our time and utilizing the time to create the finances that we need, and then we can be really enjoying a lot of freedom. Yeah,
exactly.
Mary Pat, you've been on quite a financial growth journey in the last couple of years as well, and recently you've been able to have some of your dreams and some of the goals that you've had come to being a reality. And again, you know, in the very beginning, you started off with being in a career 20 odd years, then not having a job, and then financial crunch, some of those challenges, and now yet you are on a very nice financial path. Can you share with the viewers what shifted, what changed, and what the differences have been?
Okay, so I did okay the first couple years, but I was never one who, I always had my own business, even in design, I always had side jobs going on, and it was just sort of cash in, cash out, and I never really paid attention. I didn't like the finances part, so I just let my husband do it all.
Right. Yeah.
And then we, after my first year, I was on the ALC as well, and Mo challenged us to get a hold of our finances.
Yeah.
And we had our own business. We had to be accountable for the finances and stuff. So I took word of that and I decided, all right, I can do this. I can do the financial part of it. So I got QuickBooks and I just put everything in there and then started on that path. I got myself an accountant separate from our house accountant and went that route. And then shortly after, as I started building my business, I didn't necessarily like some of the things that were going on at home, as far as, because things were changing and we were doing some things the same old way. And then we had, KPG had offered a seminar called Financial Mastery?
Financial Mastery, yes.
Where it was a 3-day session, and the first time they gave us this printout to where you were in your finances. And I'm sitting in a class with lots of people, and I'm looking at it, and my face just went blank. I did not know anything about our personal finances, because I just kept, you do it, I can't deal with this. I was kind of mortified. And it, in another hand, it was like extremely eye-opening. It was like, wow, if I'm ever alone or whatever, I am lost. I'm up the creek without the paddle. And it kind of scared me into, and I took this class very seriously. And then and the next year following that class, I went and challenged myself to know everything that was going on. And as I looked at what was going on, I saw what I liked, what I didn't like. And then about a year later, I actually had enlisted, the class came around again. I said, hey, can we bring someone else? And I insisted that my husband come, who bucked a little bit. but I got him to come, and there was, he got into the program, and he's like, wow, this makes sense. And KPG had given us, there was a financial advisor there from Velocity Concepts. He was awesome. He came into our house and started looking at our personal finances and both of our business finances. And it was just like, you guys, you need to do this, this, and this. The traditional methods aren't getting you what you wanted. And with a little resistance at first from my husband, he started to make sense to him. And, you know, he actually kept saying, like, why is this guy doing all this for free? And I'm like, our company is investing in me.
That's right.
And so I'm investing in us. So they invest a lot in us as agents, on the personal and the professional level. So, you know, the professional level, obviously everyone benefits from that. But for them to invest in us personally is something that hit home with me, because, you know, I guess in the long run, if you're not doing well personally, you're not going to succeed in business or wherever and be a growth with the company. But their investment in my personal life really just kind of touched me and hit home. And at the time we had fallen in love with a house that we wanted to buy for our retirement home, and or not retirement, we were going to retire in. And we thought, we both made enough money, and we went and applied, and it was just like, wow, you can't get a loan. And I was like, what do you mean we can't get a loan? It's like all of our children's, we didn't even pay for their college. They all were paid for their own, took out loans, but we had a cosign. So we got denied, and it was, again, eye-opening. And it was like, okay, we need to make some changes here. So within 2 small years, Jim came and he just kind of unraveled some stuff and taught us how to redo some stuff. And our house is actually breaking ground this month.
A dream, a reality, a dream home. Home on the way.
So it was staying focused on the prize at the end and following the systems and models of this financial advisor that, you know, we got a hold of.
So definitely for everyone listening today, it's really important to get awareness and get control of tracking your finances and having awareness of where your finances really are, so that way you can create your future. I think real estate is about selling houses, and yet it's about a lot more. It really is about being able to create a business that's really going to be able to fund your life. And I'm excited because it sounds like it's going to be a beautiful home that you and your husband are going to be able to go to. And definitely on the path of where things can really become a reality.
And that also, that fuels me as a productivity coach. Because when you talked earlier about Amanda teaching and being so new, I think it made it more real. So when I was in the classes and you have these agents that have been in business for, you know, 20, 30 years or even 10, 15 years, you as a new agent and you're already feeling overwhelmed because you don't know it all. So you kind of, like, it seems like that's so far out. That's so far out and it's, you know, it's just not going to happen, or it's going to happen, but it's going to take forever. So when I started teaching and mentoring those people, I think I was closer to them because I was only, I guess I started training and teaching people when I was only 2 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like you're looking at somebody like, God, I was in your shoes 2 years ago. And so same for Amanda. Amanda was in their shoes a year ago.
Yeah.
So when they're looking at it, we've had agents. We had one gal capped in 7 months. And she was another person there. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do,
right,
coach.
Right, right. Yeah. If you're hungry and you really want to succeed, there's going to
be
people
done.
Supporting
So when
you.
You're looking at someone who's only been out a year or only been out 2 years or even 6 years,
mm-hmm.
as a new agent, I think it's more attainable than feeling like they've been in business so forever. So, and my experiences is with being where I was financially, having to make a total career change because I have someone in the program now who was just let go of a very high influential job, and mm-hmm. now here she is back.
Yeah.
So I can tap into her because I know how I felt being on top of my game and then all of a sudden being like, let me get you the answer to that question.
Yeah.
It was a very awkward thing. So, you know, my experience being so close with them is and not the distance time-wise,
mm-hmm.
I think really helps.
Yeah, that's what I absolutely have enjoying with a lot of the productivity coaches that I have the pleasure of working with our team is that you're in the business, you appreciate some of our agents and what they're going through because it wasn't that long ago. I love having you as part of my team and some of the great things that you're doing over
Thanks.
At the Brandywine office. It's fun. It's fun to watch your growth.
Thank
and
you.
it's really even more fun to be able to celebrate your success and just some of the things that have happened over the last couple of years. Yeah, yeah. And Amanda, how excited about teaching are you? How do you think that's even helping you? You know, we always talk about, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to be teaching, but is that taking away from your business or?
Not at all. I actually left that, even though they're all new agents, I left that class with more knowledge than I went there with. And they made me think, well, you know, actually, hold on, let me think about that to get you an answer.
Right.
And it's nice to kind of give back too, because I wish,
I
mean, we did have that, but for my age group, we don't have really that many young agents that can push forward their advice. One of the younger agents who's a year younger than me, she's like, well, how do you do it like so quickly? And a lot with the cold calling, I told her, I'm like, well, you don't know these people, so why are you scared?
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to know them after you get off the phone unless they want to meet you, which is only good news. So a lot of it is just kind of sharing my personal experiences,
and
especially with younger agents, and it feels good leaving there. And it's not a pain. It's actually helpful to me more than anything is to go teach and help out. So I actually really enjoyed it, even though I was nervous going into it. It was really great.
I think we really need to have you speak up at other team meetings and do a little testimonial about being on the Agent Leadership Council and the joy that you're getting from teaching and sharing. There's a saying out there, if you want to really master something, mm-hmm. start teaching it.
Exactly.
And so you're on your path of mastering some of the things that you're teaching. So what's your favorite thing to teach?
I've only taught two classes so far, but Ignite was a lot of fun. It's all based off conversation and questions and learning from one another. It's not like we're just the teachers. They're teaching mm-hmm. us too, even
That's
though
right.
we might
yeah.
not realize it
yeah.
at the time. But I left there and I think I might have called my mom or someone after. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I was the student.
Student as
yeah.
well, yes.
So it was wonderful. It was. Ignite is a great class.
It is. I'm going to use your example. I have an ALC mastermind mm-hmm. coming up in 2 weeks, and definitely going to share your testimony about how it's really adding to you and your business.
Mm-hmm.
And especially someone so young. I love it.
And, you know, another thing is like in that class, and you know, for all agents who are people who are looking to get into real estate, we're all different age groups. You've mm-hmm. got people coming from all walks of life, so
all different perspectives.
You know, when we discuss in class, like Amanda learned, I learn all the time because they're coming from different businesses.
Yeah.
Not everybody is a young person out of college. Right. Some of them are coming from lifelong mm-hmm. businesses, and they bring a piece to the table that is totally different and a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a business perspective, and sometimes the things we learn, like just in general, are good in all walks of life. I did a lot of psychology classes when I was in college because I was fascinated with psychology.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I had a psych degree right now, it would help me immensely because with real estate, when you're dealing with people's emotions and it's the most expensive purchase they make in their lifetime.
That's right, yeah.
Emotions are high.
Yeah.
So, and then if you're on the other end, it's the end of life and they've lived there for 60 years.
Yeah.
Emotions are high. So having these other experiences from other walks of life, it all just sort of cultivates.
A great point really for agents to
share and with each other. And together we achieve more, learn more. And
absolutely. One more thing, as a millennial, I'm really learning a lot about the millennials and the workforce. What are some of the things that you know, and as a millennial, share with some of the folks listening about where the markets are and what's going to happen?
I think we have to get our generation comfortable to purchase. And if not all our whole generation's good with their money or saving, they might not have been taught that. So get people that are millennials just like us on the right track to purchase. You know, they might not be ready just yet, but we have tons of friends, family that are around our age. Anyone you interact with, college friends, high school friends, if they don't have the funds to purchase, get them there. Mm-hmm. Find them financial advisors. Let them speak to mortgage lenders.
Yeah.
Get them prepared. And I think that's where we could gain a lot of our business. And I think we're scared to ask our generation and our age group for business because we don't think they can afford it. But we can get them on the path to afford it. So I think that would be a good starting point for a lot of new agents.
Good advice, good advice. And I recently read, again, it's by 2020, 50% or more of the workforce is going to be the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And within the next 5 years, 75%. Mm-hmm. So if they're in the workforce, that's also going to mean that they're also going to be in the market for purchasing homes too.
Exactly.
We do have the whole college fund thing to deal with in terms of perhaps their student loans and things. But as you say, helping millennials really look at what options they have unless you have awareness of what your actual finances are and what the options could be, they can't get on the path for learning maybe to purchase a home. And so that's really good advice. I'm excited to learn more as I personally am very, very focused right now on learning more about working with the millennials in helping them develop better life skills. So you have something really that you really want to say. So.
Yeah, with the millennials, and we were talking, it's almost like they could find everything on the internet, the pictures are on the internet, they would just want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that they don't know, and I think we can bring value as agents. You know, they kind of think, some people treat you like, I don't need an agent. I just need an agent to get me inside the door. Well, you don't even need to get in the door anymore because the pictures are out there and people are creative with pictures. But if you can be this wealth of information that's got the extra added step, teaching them about the mortgage, they don't think they can buy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that there's FHA mortgages where
there's
they give
so 3.5%.
Many
different programs,
you know, young guys that are military can get a VA loan
that's
for 0%.
Right.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of PA, and Delaware has first-time home buyer programs where they'll give you the money up front as a deposit. So that's the stuff they're not able to find on the internet. So it really brings value to us to educate yourself in those areas so that you can bring it to them.
Yeah, don't be afraid of reaching out to them, right? Because that they're also a large pool of consumers out there that are going to be part of a big force in the real estate purchasing real estate for the future. Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about all that. I'm excited to always learn about what's new and what could be our next thing. And so we'll just have to really stay very connected about what you're learning and what I might be able to learn from you. And so in closing, if there was some words of advice for our viewers, what do you think you would have to say to them for them to really get on the success path as you have?
I would say just don't let anyone dull your shine. Like, you can push through it. People might not have the nicest words to say to you, but you can get through it and you can do better for yourself and show them later on by your success that, you know, that's their loss, not your loss.
Exactly. So. Thanks for reminding us about that again. Yeah. I really think that's a big key. Everybody's got opinions. We don't really have to listen to what we get to do is to really listen to what's in our heart and what our opportunities are for ourselves, for our life, because it is our life and we get to create it. I love the sparkle that you have, and I'm excited to just continue following and seeing your success as well as you grow.
Thank you.
And what about you, Mary Pat? So much in so few years of growth and really just seeing you so happy about a lot of things. Yeah.
You know, I too was at a point where like everything changed and I thought everything was one way, and then in a split second it's something else. So you just have to you got to roll with it. I just think you just have to always be learning new things and not afraid to take chances. I'm somebody who I jump in head first. So just you know, figure out what you want to do, find who's doing it at a high level and follow what they're doing to have what they
and don't get so bogged down with all the details, right?
Yeah. Don't get bogged down with the details. Yeah. And again, and I agree with Amanda 100%. Don't let all those naysayers get in your way.
That's true. Yeah, I was just doing my yoga class this weekend. And I always find these lessons with the instructors that I have. And one of the things she said is, when we are so attached to controlling things and wanting to be in control of everything, that's when things don't go right. As soon as we let go of the control and allow things to fall into place, you'll be surprised how much more actually gets done. And a lot of things open up for us. And I've found that to be true in so many things. And when it really comes to this show, I'm just delighted to have folks like you sharing amazing strategies. And today, definitely, you know, not letting other people define your future, looking at the dual agency aspects of it, and really finances. You know, always look at what's in front of you, because you can't make the right choices if you don't really look. And then the millennials forging forward into our next couple of years, the millennials are definitely the opportunity. So I want to thank both of you for being here. I learned a lot, and definitely I'm sure the folks listening today and watching the show, I'm sure they got a lot of things, and I hope they're as excited as I am. So thanks so much for coming.
I really
appreciate both of you. And for our viewers, I really, really want to thank you for listening and watching our show. And I hope you really also are as excited about what's to come in the next couple of years and the opportunities that real estate does provide. So if you're just starting out, or if you're stuck with your real estate, really do contact us and let us know how we can help you. And also tune into some of our next shows where you will absolutely learn some wonderful strategies for success for yourselves. Thank you, and look forward to seeing you again soon.